Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Join Pascal Donohue, Ireland's Minister for Transport, Tourism, and Sport, at the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco. Mr. Donohue traveled from Dublin, Ireland, to attend a reception in celebration of St. Patrick's Week and to showcase the launch of daily Aer Lingus nonstop flights between San Francisco and Dublin. He also shares his personal insights and recommendations about great things to do and see on the Emerald Isle, including Ireland's culinary offerings, historic cities and sites, and much more. Pascal Donohue?
That's it. You've got it right.
All right.
You're doing well.
Nailed it on the first
one. You got it right.
Then you are Minister of Tourism and
Transport.
So that's an interesting mix for you, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's a combination, though, that works very, very well.
And explain why.
Because crucial to having a very successful tourism business in our country is also making it easy to get to our country, which, of course, is one of the big things transport is about. And a really important priority for the Irish government has been to increase access between America and Ireland. We now have over 40,000 seats per week coming in and out between our two countries.
Let me just interrupt for a moment. Would transport be the equivalent of FAA in America?
It would be broader than FAA. Mm-hmm. My understanding is the FAA mostly focuses on aviation. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
Whereas for me, I look after all forms of transport for Ireland.
Truck transport.
I do everything from bicycles to planes.
Wow.
I do it all. From airports to ports. Mm-hmm. It's all part of my portfolio.
Very cool. Well, let's back up in time for a moment. You know, here you are in a ministerial job. Let's go back in your life, elementary school. Where did you grow up and what did you think you were going to do?
Well, I grew up in Dublin.
In Dublin town?
In Dublin city, that's exactly it, where I still live. And when I was growing up, I had no real interest in becoming a politician or getting involved in politics.
What did you think you were going to do?
I thought I was going to work in business in the private sector, which indeed I did for nearly 11 years. I worked for one of your great American companies, Procter & Gamble, and I had a very happy career there. But my family, while they had no involvement in politics, they did have a great interest in current affairs, in reading the newspaper. And like many Irish families, the radio was always on in our home. So I always had an interest in what was going on in our country and abroad. And that led me to an interest in politics. And I've now been a member of the Irish Parliament now since 2007.
So that was your first entry, was running for MP of your district?
That is exactly it. I'm a member of what's called the Dáil, and the Dáil is our parliament, part of our parliament, and it would be equivalent to your House of Representatives, and that's what I'm a member of.
So you're doing a lot of duties right now.
I am, and I suppose unlike the American political system, members of the American cabinet tend not to be members of parliament.
Right.
Whereas in Ireland, you have to be a member of parliament to be a member of cabinet. So I am both a member of parliament and a member of our government.
Interesting. Well, let's go more personal, your passion of Ireland and experiencing Ireland. Let's say that I had not been there before and I'm coming over.
Sure.
Where would you take me? What would we do?
Well, despite the fact that I'm from Dublin, I live in Dublin and I represent Dublin and I am a proud Dubliner. Actually, if I was taking you to Ireland for the first time, while you would probably fly into Dublin, I wouldn't actually, if I was to take you anywhere, would not ask you to stay in Dublin. Mm-hmm. Where I would ask you to go is to many of our wonderful counties that are outside of our capital city. Because if you have an interest in nature, if you have an interest in food, if you have an interest in just experiencing a more relaxed way of life, There is a huge variety of experiences within Ireland that offer that. If I was to pick one example, we have a new concept called the Wild Atlantic Way. It's a 2,500-kilometre coastline that offers a huge variety of different coastal experiences, great opportunities to be in amazing scenery. And I have done a lot of that myself, and it's wonderful. And I had such a good time being involved in it as Minister for Tourism. I'm taking my family on holiday to part of it in a few weeks' time.
That's so cool.
So I can't offer you any higher praise than that. I think it's so good. Not only would I ask you or your listeners to go there, but I've taken my own family to it.
Then how about County Kerry?
Yeah, well, we have places like Kerry and parts of Cork featuring the Wild Atlantic Way. If you were to go down to that part of our country and further afield into the southeast, into places like Waterford and Wexford, they are counties that offer a huge amount in relation to our history. We have a huge amount of buildings, of sites that are many thousands of years old. That would offer a great variety of experience to somebody, for example, who might be more interested in culture and history.
Your passion about Irish food?
Well, it's really changed as a result of the fact that Irish agriculture and food is doing exceptionally well at the moment. You'll be aware of the huge changes that have taken place in the demands of food consumers across the world, because a lot of things that have happened with science and across a very globalised world, people are more interested now in where their food has come from. They're interested in the quality of the food. They're interested, if they want to eat meat, they're interested in how the animal was looked after and what happened to it. And they're all things that Ireland has long been very good at for reasons that we touched on earlier in relation to our natural environment. We have a climate that is very sympathetic to rearing animals, to the growing of crops, and for all of those reasons, we have an agricultural sector that's doing very well at the moment and has nicely led on to a food and drink sector that's really doing exceptionally well.
Let's loop back to Dublin for a moment. And one of my fondest memories is the food and cuisine in Dublin city itself.
Yeah, and Dublin, because it's our capital city, does offer a huge variety of that. And the food has evolved so far beyond the kind of traditional food that you would associate with Ireland. The bacon and cabbage is still there, but it is now cooked better and presented a lot differently to what people may remember. But alongside that, our own lamb, our own beef, our own dairy products are now being cooked in our restaurants and indeed in our pubs to a really high standard. And that's been done because there's a demand for it and people have an interest in it. And if you come into our city centre, not only is there a great opportunity to sample Irish food, but, you know, we have a wonderful and very important number of ethnic, you know, of new communities within our country, whether they be Chinese, whether they be Indian, from Eastern and Central Europe, and now they have all their own restaurants as well. So there's a real cornucopia of delights awaiting in Dublin.
Mr. Donoghue is a passionate fan of the Wild Atlantic Way, a 1,600-mile-long route along the west coast of Ireland.
Well, the Wild Atlantic Way begins in Cork and ends in Donegal. It stretches along our western coastline. I think there's two things about it that make it very special. The first one is that it's all linked up. And it's all linked up via signage and what is called signature points. And what we're working on doing and making a lot of progress on delivering is at different points in the coastline, there are different things for you to see and get involved in apart from the coastline itself.
Primarily self-guided touring.
It's completely self-guided. So we have signage all over our west coast that enables you to stick to the coast and not get off it. And then these signature points offer cultural experiences, historical experiences, something on top of the coastline. So, for example, later on this year now, we're going to be opening a new signature point, the first transatlantic flight that ever took place. Because the first transatlantic flight that ever took place, of course, originated from the west coast of Ireland to America. It's also the point at which the first transatlantic cable was ever laid. So if you look at all the technology that we now take for granted, its origin, of course, is in the kind of cable economy where people spoke to each other in long cables that went across our oceans.
That landing, as I remember, is around, it's in County Kerry, isn't it?
And it's near Kerry, yeah. And we're going to be having a new signature point that will commemorate the first flight and the laying of the first cable. And it's all about giving people other things to do and learn when they're there. The one other thing about the Wild Atlantic Way that I have personally appreciated myself is that there's a huge amount of variety in it. So the way the Wild Atlantic Way looks in Kerry is very different to how it looks in Clare, and in turn it's very different to how it looks in Donegal. So it's not just a case of going along a coastline that looks the same for 2,500 miles. There's a lot of variety in it, and it looks very different in each point. It's been an incredible success, and what's now happened is all the local communities who are located along it are all now coming together really to improve the food offering they are, to improve the tourist experiences they can offer locally. Because of course, as you'll know here in America from people who work in the tourism sector, if business people and investors think there's going to be a demand for a service, then they're going to invest to make sure that service is as good as possible. And that is what's happening now across the Wild Atlantic Way.
I assume you have a kind of one-stop shopping website. For example, as you're talking, I'm thinking, well, I would like to have some insight on really cool places to stay, historic inns and places to eat.
And sure, and if you go onto ireland.com, you'll find a huge amount of information there about it. But even if you just Google things like the Wild Atlantic Way and even Dublin, much of that information will come up. But ireland.com is where you'll get a lot of that information. The literary aspect to our culture is hugely important. And 2015 is a great year to visit Ireland in relation to that, because it marks, it's the year of Yeats. So across our country now, we have different festivals and events taking place to mark the life and poetry and work of W.B. Yeats, one of our great national poets. In terms of how you could access information about that, again, ireland.com would be a good way to do it.
Is that a centenary, or why is that this a special year?
His birth, 100 years to his birth.
I wish we could go on and on, but there are people that are waiting for you.
Well, Thomas, I wish I could spend the entire afternoon with you here too, because it's a lovely afternoon here in your wonderful city, and we're here in a wonderful spot. But thank you very much for your interest, and I hope both you and your listeners do get a chance to visit Ireland and consider spending some of their well-earned vacation there.
Pascal, thanks again.
You're very welcome, Thomas.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort Maui at Wailea invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning, and Lauren Hayes is our technical assistant. Oh.